Es khazor zeh khnesh ba khas shag mem yom sekh zvakhm daf sadik zayn. Sagt mir shon mit Tyrant says if a carbon was cooked in a keli at the beginning of Yom Tov, it can be used to cook Kabbalah for the entire Yom Tov without the need to purge and rinse after each cooking. The Chum say, until the time of eating, there's a requirement of purging and rinsing. See what that means. Purging is like the purging of a cup, and rinsing is like the rinsing of a cup. It means like the cup used for Birkas HaMazon, which is washed from inside and outside. Mishnah continues, the purging and rinsing are both done with cold water. In the case of a spit or a grill used for Kabbalah, they have to be purged with hot water. In fact, what's the reason of Rabbi Tyfon's view? And for the Gemara, the Pasuk says that after Yom Tov, Ufanisa v'abayker v'alachti lo yolecho, which teaches the Pasuk treats the entire Yom Tov as one long day. And therefore, purging and rinsing are never needed until the end of the day, so therefore it's not needed over here. Bar Ami asked, based on that, we should say that there's no pigle on Yom Tov because he had in mind to eat it another day. Yom Tov shouldn't be a problem. There should be no noiser on Yom Tov. Yet, Rabbi Nelson says in a braisa, the Rabbi Tyfon only applies his ruling to purging and rinsing, not other halachas. Rather, his reasons, like Rabbi Nachman, the name of Rabbi Avuah, said that the cooking of each day, since there are so many karbanas brought over Yom Tov, acts to purge the flavors of the earlier karbanas before they become noiser. Rav Nachman and Rabbi Avuah explain that the Chum say that he waits until the time for eating this carbon has passed, and then he does the purging and rinsing. Where do we learn this from? Rabbi Yechon said we learn this from the fact that the pasuk immediately following the purging and rinsing requirement says kol zochar b'kayhanim yoichal. The Mishnah said, Marika, Kimarika, Sakois, Vichula. Bryce says, Rebbe says, the purging and rinsing are done with cold water. The Chum say that the purging is done with hot water and the rinsing is done with cold water. The Rabbanon, Mark explains, the Rabbanon holders know this is no different than the purging that needs to be done for the kalim used by Goyim for their cooking. Rebbe says, I agree that to purge the flavor of the nicer, of course you have to use hot water. I'm saying that after that purging, there's another purging and rinsing that has to be done, and that's with cold water. Rabbanon say, if the purging and rinsing both refer to cold water, the Pasuk just say, Moirak, Moirak, or Shotov, Shotov. You know, they use the same word twice. The fact that they're changes words to Marika and the Shtifa, it shows that one's with hot water, one's with cold water. Rebbe says, no, it's the same word. If the same words was used, you would think that both of the washings of the cold water are done on the inside or both of them on the outside. The Pasuk uses different words to teach that one is done on the inside of the keli, one is done on the outside of the keli. Zok, the next mission, if a person cooked kachim and chulin together in a keli, or if he cooked kachim and kachim kalim together in a keli, if the more stringent meat is present in enough size to impart flavor to the other meat, the lenient one is eaten with the chumr, so the more stringent one, the pots don't need purging and rinsing until the time for eating the lenient one has passed, and if after that time for eating the stringent one has passed, the lenient one is then cooked with other meat, it does not pass the psul onto that other meat. The Mishnah continues, if a puzzle rakik mincha touched a valid rakik mincha, or if a puzzle piece of carbon meat touched a valid piece of carbon meat, it doesn't make the entire mincha or the entire meat puzzle, rather it only makes the place where it touched, that becomes usur. For Akhtamar, why is it that purging and rinsing don't need to be done as soon as the time for eating the stringent meat has passed? And for tomorrow, the Mishnah has to be amended and Echanami to say as follows, if the stringent meat imparts flavor into the more lenient meat, then the lenient meat must be eaten with the chumers of the more stringent meat. It requires purging and rinsing when the time for eating the stringent one has passed, and it will make puzzle or the meats that it's then cooked with. However, if it didn't impart any flavor, then the lenient meat does not need to be eaten with the chumris of the more chumradik meat. It also does not require purging and rinsing when the time for the eating the more chumradik one has passed, and it will not make pusle all the meat that is then cooked with. In fact, we can understand that purging and rinsing are not needed in the second case of the Mishnah for kachim, but it should be needed for the kachim kalim and for the gemara. Abaye said it means that the purging and rinsing need not be done until the time for eating the kachim kalim has passed. Rava said the Mishnah follows the view of Rav Shimon, who says that kachim kalim do not carry the purging and rinsing requirements. In fact, according to Rava, we understand why the Mishnah gave this second case. However, according to Abaye, why is the second case needed? And for the Gemara, if we only had the first case, we would say that only chulin can be mevatel kachim because they're considered to be of a different kind. But kachim kalim can't be mevatel kachim. If we only had the second case, we would say that only kachim are strong enough to be mevatel of the kachim. Chulim cannot be mevatel kachim. Mishnah then said, "Rokik shegia berokik v'chulu." A brisa says the pasuk says, "Kol asher yiga." We would think that even if the other meat did not absorb anything from the chatas meat, it should be treated with the status of the chatas meat. The pasuk therefore says, "Bivisara in," which teaches that there must be absorption into the meat. We would think that if the chatas was absorbed into only part of the meat, the entire meat should become possible. The whole piece should become possible. The pasuk therefore says, "Yiga," which teaches only the part that touches becomes possible. What do? We cut off that place that absorbed, and the remaining is mutter. The pasuk says, "Bivisara," which teaches that absorption from the meat makes it possible, but not absorption from the gidin, the bones, the horns, or the hooves. The pasuk says yikdosh, which teaches that it becomes like the chatos. This means if the chatos is pasul, the other meat becomes pasul. If the chatos is kosher, the other meat must be eaten with the chumras of a chatos. In fact, why would a valid carbon that absorbed from a pasul carbon become pasul to eat? We should say that the assay of eating a valid carbon should come and override the lav of not eating a pasul carbon. And the Rava said an assay does not override the lav in the migdosh. Ravashi said the word yigdosh creates an assay that this meat becomes pasul as well. Therefore, it's an assay on the one hand. On the other hand, we have an assay and a lois assay. An assay is not doicha, a lois assay v'assay. In fact, the pasuk teaches the rule when another piece of meat absorbs from a chatos. How do we know that other commanders have the same halacha? So Shmuel and him, Rav Elazar said, it's learned from the pasuk that creates a hekesh between oyla, mincha, chatos, asham, miluim, and shlomim. As the Gemara says, the comparison to oyla teaches that all kabbalas have to be shechted using a metal knife, a kli sharis, like an oyla. We learn this for oyla from Avram's shechting of the ram by the akeda. The comparison to mincha teaches that just like a mincha may only be eaten by male kahanim, so too other kabbalas may only be eaten by male kahanim. Although the fact that a chatos and asham may be so eaten is written explicitly in the pasuk, and a shlomim of a tzibur is learned from a drasha in another pasuk, it's actually a machlekes of tanaim, whether we learn this from the hekesh or we learn from other pasukim. The comparison to chatos teaches just like a chatos meat that touches other meat makes the other meat like it only when there's absorbed flavor. The same is for the meat of other kabbanas that touch other meat. The comparison to Ashram teaches that just like the fetus and the amniotic sac of an Ashram have no kedusha, the same is for those other kabbanas. The comparison to Meluim teaches that just as for Meluim the leftovers are burned and the living animals are not considered to be leftover of a Meluim, the same is for other kabbanas. And finally, the comparison to Shlomim teaches just like a Shlomim can become pigle themselves and make other things brought along with them into pigle, the same is true for the other kabbanas as well.